Hello. All right, I was just saying hello a moment ago, so hopefully you got the gist of it. I'm just going to dive right in because we'll be very, very tight on time. All right, so first of all, why does sustainability matter? Like, why do we even care about it? So I think most people in this room can probably construct an argument about why sustainability matters for open source software generally, but why particularly for decentralized networks? And I want to present you this, right, to think about. Decentralization without sustainability is just deferred centralization. And if there's one thing that you take from this talk, it's basically this slide, right? This is hopefully the most important part of it. If you need to leave now, then now's your option and you can go. But this is really what we're going to be talking about. Now, this applies to Matrix, but it applies to pretty much any decentralized system. If you think about the internet at large over, you know, the last decade or so, we see it increasingly centralized, and that is because we have not found good ways to sustainably invest in all the different components that you need to have a truly decentralized internet. It applies to political systems as well. You have to invest in your decentralized nodes, otherwise all the power just gets sucked into the middle. So what does it mean when we say sustainability in the context of Matrix? Like, what are we talking about? And the way I think about it, with Matrix, we want to have the same impact in the next 50 years as email had on the last 50. That's the sort of ambition that we need to be having. But if you want that to be true, then you're going to need to think about sustainability in a very specific way. You're going to need to make decisions where this future can actually exist. Okay, so a little bit of history. I think some people will know this, but we'll just go through it quickly so you sort of understand the context. In 2014, the Matrix founding team came together, working in a much larger organization, doing this Matrix thing. And it started to go pretty well. And they actually spun out and created Element, a new vector, in order to fund themselves. Started making some money out of feature sponsorship. This was also successful. It felt good. And going back to our point around decentralization, realized at this moment it'd be a good time to create an independent foundation that was non-profit. And so you've got the Matrix Foundation and you have Element as the for-profit entity. From there, started doing a little bit more feature sponsorship. Things were sort of okay, but there was a problem. What is the true cost of feature development? Is it writing the feature itself? Is it the design? Is it the LMM-generated blog post claiming victory once you ship it? Or maybe it's the maintenance. And this builds up over time, right? It's cumulative. The more complex your systems become, the more maintenance that you have. Now, who in this room thinks it's good to invest in maintenance of open source software projects? Hooray! Lots of hands up. Who in this room today is willing to write me a check for unspecified maintenance in a Matrix ecosystem project? Right, for those of you watching the live stream who can't see the whole audience, hands were down. And this is a problem, right? But there are plenty of professional services companies that make this kind of thing work. All you do is you charge a little bit extra for your team's time, and that margin allows you to invest back in the project. You can do this. Problem is, Element does a bunch of other stuff that we think is necessary for the long-term sustainability of Matrix, but does not fit in that professional services model. And so this isn't the whole list, but the sorts of things. We are significant sponsors of the Spec Core team, but probably more importantly, the Spec authorship. We spend a lot of time there. We build out the Element clients for ourselves, but also for the ecosystem growth generally, and we saw Dave talking about that earlier. We maintain the Matrix.org home server, for instance. We maintain the Rust SDK. We maintain the JS SDK. We look after Synapse and MAS and Admin Console. We do a bunch of work around protocol research, the sort of much longer term things that we do. And we provide the foundation with trust and safety and compliance and security. We do public policy advisory. So poor old Amandine and Denise have to keep going around Europe telling people that end-to-end encryption is not about terrorism, and there's actually some good things about it. And finally, we provide things like finance and legal and business operations for the foundation. Now, I'm not trying to say that Element does everything here. That's not true. The direction of travel is that more and more folks across the whole ecosystem are finding ways to really meaningfully support the foundation, the Matrix project, particularly coming out of the governing board. But it's a lot, and it doesn't add up. So It's worse than that, though, because you can't just pray that the commercial deployments are going to fund your upstream. There are some exceptions, but generally that does not happen. And it's going to get worse over time, because the more successful Matrix becomes, the more and more we see very large organizations not invested in the ecosystem at all just kind of show up and provide a Matrix installation, but they don't contribute back. And while that annoys me, they're totally cool to do that. The licensing says they can. They're not doing anything wrong. So what are you going to do? Now, we have seen lots of different approaches to this in the open source world. We've seen people looking at licensing, and particularly non-OSI licensing. We know why they've gone that way. That's not what we would do within the Matrix ecosystem. But you've got to find some way to capture value. There's got to be something that you hold back if you're going to not go down this feature sponsorship route. So where are you going to draw the line? The way we think about this within Element, we think anything that empowers the end user, that is FOSS. Anything that empowers an enterprise over the end user, or in a way that an end user wouldn't really care about, that goes into paid. And by end user, I'm talking like someone that would use a client, or I'm just talking about someone that would administer a server. So examples of what we would put into FOSS, something like straight line performance, cryptography, or core features like spaces or threads, all of that stuff, that is FOSS. But things like clustering and high availability, you know, if you want to run a million person installation, well, you've probably got quite specialist needs. If you're just an admin trying to run it for your friends and family, you probably don't want that complexity. If you want integration into your corporate directory, that's probably paid. If you want CRA compliance, that's again something that we would consider as part of the paid offering. We did two other things. We did change license. We moved from Apache 2 to AGPL. This sort of ensures that companies that do fork the upstream, you know, they can either publish their changes or contribute them back somehow. And we have a CLA, which allows us to sort of give exceptions to that. Not all CLAs are equal. The Element CLA actually has a specific term there that says if you contribute to it, whatever happens, your contribution will always be made available FOSS. So if we have a change of leadership at Element or something, or we bought by somebody, your contribution is always FOSS. Not all CLAs have that. So did this work? Well, here's a list of organizations that are able to support this model. And you've got folks like NATO and the European Commission. And I'm going to call out our friends at FK. I'm not going to pronounce them because I'm scared to do so, but their logo is tiny. There we go, there we go. What he said. Okay, cool story. We found a way to make some money, but what's that got to do with open source software? So let's talk about that. Because this gives us some freedom, right? This allows us to think about how, you know, what's the long-term horizon, how can we invest in the Matrix ecosystem at large? Because that's why we're getting out of bed in the morning. So I want to talk a bit about Matrix 2.0. Matthew touched on it earlier. I want to talk about Element X transition. We're going to talk about ESS community, accessibility, Matrix RTC, Rust SDK, and some protocol design stuff. We're going to do it super, super quick, and then there's going to be some demos, and then I'll get off, and you can get on with your day. So first of all, Matrix 2.0. This is this idea of a whole bunch of different MSCs that we think together allows us to really level up the sort of experiences that you can provide in a messaging app so that you can compete with centralized alternatives. There are 28 of these MSCs. 27 of them were authored by Element folks. If you want to know the 28th, that was written by Johannes Marbeck. But 27 of them are from Element. And we're real close now. We've got Matrix RTC. We just saw a talk on what remains there. And we have some sliding sync extensions. Once we've got that, then we can call this little bit done, little bit. As well, Element X transition. Firstly, what is this matter for Matrix, right? For those of you that don't know, we've got our old mobile apps, and then we wrote Element X, and we've been trying to migrate across to that over the last couple of years. It's been quite a painful process. But why isn't that just, you know, Element hygiene? Well, the thing is, the Element apps are still the dominant apps in the ecosystem. If you join Matrix, you probably start with Element, and that will ultimately judge. People will judge Matrix by it. So it's important that people are getting the best experience. We believe that best experience is Element X. It's certainly a lot better than the Element Classic apps. And we're super, super close now. The big things that I think stop people migrating were maybe spaces or threads. The migration process itself is a little bit rough as well. and we're fixing that. But there's also a sort of long tail of sort of smaller features, and we're going to get that all done by April. And at that point, you're going to start hearing us talking a lot more assertively about, hey, really, really, you want to be using Element X. If people in this room cannot use Element X, I'd love to hear why that is after the talk. And yeah, just to give you a very, very brief demo, if people haven't seen it, can I do this? That's the one I want. That's the one I want. Let's see if we can get this going. Here we are. Oh no, I've done that wrong. All right, so here's your Element X, here's your room list. We've got spaces here. You've got FOSDEM 2026, you've got the dev rooms. Let's see if we can get the decentralized room up. We're loading it. Hello. There we go. Very good. Okay, so Element X, give it a go if you haven't already. Right, ESS community. So first of all, why does this matter? So the ESS community is a distribution of a matrix stack. When we started this project, what we were hearing about the sort of matrix 2.0 ideas, it was quite hard to get everything together because you needed not only a Synapse, you needed MAS, you needed a sliding sync proxy in that era, you need a live kit backend. It's getting a bit complicated, and there wasn't really a nice way to do that. And so that's why we started building our ESS community. There are other Matrix 2.0 distributions available now, and they've all got different, slightly different design goals, but this is the one that we're working at Element. And the nice thing about this is because it's sort of got the same lineage as our paid offering, all of the sort of robustness things we've been thinking about for folks like NATO, that is there architecturally in ESS community. Now, as a demo, to show you how easy it is to get going with this, I'm going to create one of these from scratch during this call, during this talk. But it takes about a minute to get going. So I'm going to start it now, and then by the end of it, it will be there, and then I'll give you a little tour around it. All right, so just bear with me while we do exactly that. We will start here. We'll create our namespace. This is the command to get it going, and what you can see there is various different config files that we've got.
Zoom in.
Is that okay?
Zoom in.
All right. And over here, which also needs zooming in, is my natty canine Kubernetes viewer, which Quentin introduced me to. So this is just to prove I'm actually doing something behind the scenes. These pods are going to go off, and it's going to do stuff for the next minute, and then we're going to come back and see if it actually worked or not. Okay. All right. What is next on our list? I think we're in accessibility. Why does this matter for Matrix? Well, I think this is an easy thing to argue. You've got to spend the time here. You've got to invest. It's obviously one of those things that sometimes doesn't get the love that it requires. If we want Matrix to be for everyone, then we better make sure we're making time for accessibility. Matrix RTC, we just had a massive talk on Matrix RTC, so I'll not spend too much time here, but I want to say two things. Firstly, VoIP is an expected part of a chat app. That's why we have to work here. But Matrix VoIP needs to have the same cryptographic guarantees as for messaging. You have to be confident that you know who you're talking to. It's taken a long time to get this going, and that is because we've had to build out completely new concepts within Matrix to support these kinds of use cases. We didn't know we had to do this right at the beginning of the project, but we've now got something that we really think works well together. Rust SDK, we talked about a lot that the Rust SDK today. We want a SDK that everyone can rely on and build their own clients on, and that's really what we're going for. We consider this to be quite a success story within the Matrix ecosystem. It's under the Foundation's organization, but Element does the sort of runs the governance for the project. But 25% of everything that is PR'd against this repo comes from outside of Element, and so we feel quite good about that, and the direction of travel is more and more and more. And then finally, probably most importantly, is protocol research. Matthew spent a bunch of time explaining some of the things that we're doing here. This is important because we need to ensure that Matrix stays current. We can all name other protocols over the years that weren't able to evolve and iterate. And if you do that, you stagnate. So a lot of the work that we're thinking about right now is around federation security, particularly with Hydra. We're thinking about MLS, and we're thinking about peer-to-peer. All right, what's coming next? How are we doing for time? Okay, right. Matrix RTC lands, invisible crypto, you hardly notice it, hopefully, and this really sort of rounds out the Matrix 2.0 set. We sunset Element Classic, Hydra lands, we do some peer-to-peer work, Element X Web, but Dave and Florian were talking about it earlier, and Element Call out of Beta. These, I think, are going to be our sort of big highlights in the coming year. Right, demos. We're going to be very tight for time. We can either do demos or we can do questions. If we do demos, it's going to be super cool and I might just fall on my face, or we could do questions. So who here would like demos? And who would brilliant, very good, very good. That is the correct answer. So you may remember from earlier in this talk that we set things going. This is our canine viewer, so you can see the various different pods. You can see we've got Synapse there at the bottom, but the various other pods as well. So let's go back and just make sure we've got a nice happy message there. Do I need to go in further? Further still? Right, there you go. And you can see the endpoints that it's created for me here. One thing we need to create a user. Let's do that. And we've got this helpful tool, and we'll call it Neil Fosdem. We're going to make them an admin, so I can show you the admin console. And we are going to set a password as well. Okay. Yes. Right, we've got our user. Let's go and see if any of this worked. The last time I did this, it didn't work because I got rate limited by Let's Encrypt. And I can't test it because I don't want to get rate limited by Let's Encrypt in the live one. So there is some quite large jeopardy here, but hopefully this can all go well. So let's see. Okay, that's all right. Continue. This looks promising. Continue. All right, and we're in. Hooray! So, everyone's seen this. This is Element Web. But let's have a quick look at the admin console behind it. And what this tells you, you've got your dashboard, it tells you how many users you've got, that is cash. That is not what I'm expecting to see. That's really quite interesting. I don't know why it's doing that. All right, well, we'll not worry about that. Let's invite some people in and let's just prove to you that the Federation works and that things like calling works. There's some guy called Matthew. He normally likes to chit-chat, doesn't he? Let's invite Matthew in.
I think we haven't rehearsed all.
No.
I'm here.
Yeah, otherwise I was going to do it with myself. But this is a better demo. Yeah. How are we getting on here? It's on the Element client.
Are you saying it's my Element again?
Yes, I am. I can. If you're not ready for that. Probably should have told him about this. I can invite me. Just in case.
Also requires me to have network access.
Typing on a stage like this is a lot harder than typing otherwise. Okay. Let's talk to me instead. All right. With a bit of luck. Right. You got in. It's better if it's for you. All right. So, first of all, proof it's federating. All right. Let's just prove that Element Call is doing its thing. Waiting.
Needs connectivity.
Who's this guy? Yeah! All right, very good. Okay, folks, so that's the end of that. And I'm going to wrap up and then get off the stage. So what have we got as the final thing? Takeaways, things I'd like you to take away. Decentralization without sustainability is just deferred centralization, right? This is the main thing. Other things, though. Use Element X if you don't already. Give ESS community a tryout. I managed to install it and set it up whilst giving a talk at FOSDEM. That is how easy it is to get going. And then just an obvious thing, if you're going to support an open source project, pay for vendors that are going to contribute to their upstream. That's the best thing you can possibly do. Elements One, there are others available as well. Right, that's it. Thank you very much. I think we're out of time. Might be time for questions. Yeah. There might be time for questions.
Like a minute or two for questions if you want.
While next speaker is here, so.
Yeah. All right, I can do questions if you want a question. Question over here. Yeah. Yeah, so they are long-term customers with Element, and they use that within the Swedish government. I don't know too much about their sort of, sorry, the question was who are FK? I don't know too much about their use case, and maybe someone else here can probably speak to it a little bit more concretely. But they're big users of the web clients, and they use that across government.
They also support the Matrix.org Foundation a lot, and if you're interested in more about FK, come to the Matrix booth in the room over there.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, in that case, I'll let someone else introduce Hewitt.